Yeah, I got this thing. All right. Well, usually on a Wednesday night, we like to play some games. And it is still Wednesday night, and I'm still the youth pastor. So we're going to play a game. So I need those who are willing and able to. I need everybody to get into a group or a team of four persons, all right? So I know we have these teenagers. Teenagers, you can go to all these, some of these people over here, young people over here, young people over here, young people over here. Everyone kind of move around and get into a group of four persons. Ready? Go. Go, 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 go. Here we go. Get into groups of four persons. Here we go. Move around however you need to. You're going to be back to your spot. Get in groups of four. Yes, yes, yes. This is for $10 Chick-fil-A gift cards, all right? $10 for your team. So you might want to get into a group of four. All you all teenagers, go find other people. Go find, yeah, rise up. Rise up and go find other people. Go find, you guys got a group? Got a group. Make sure nobody is left out. Get into a group of four. Groups of four. All right, let's see. Let's make sure you separate your groups a little bit, teenagers. Separate your groups, you know, by a chair or two so we know. Good, good, good. Let's see here. Where did I put that list? Doom, doom, doom. Let's see. What's this called? What is this called? What are we doing? There it is. Yes. Found it. All right. If you're in a group of four, you got your group. Wave your hands at me so I know you got your groups. Oh, good, good, good. Excellent. If you're in a group of two or a party of one, that's just fine. You work however you want to. All right. So this is for Chick-fil-A cards. Now, this is God's chicken, right? Is this what we believe this to be? I know there's Cane's. I haven't been to Cane's yet. There's all sorts of chicken around here. So, but Chick-fil-A reigns supreme. So praise the Lord for that. All right, so what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to simply name something, and the first person in your group to bring it to me, you get a point. All right, so it's the first person in your group. That's why I really wanted y'all to be with some older folks, because they got stuff that y'all don't, and you're really going to need some of their stuff. So if you need to be with another teammate, you might want to think about it, because I had this in mind, because I know y'all don't have a lot of what's on here. Think about it. I see more people moving around. Dissension in the ranks. Pastor Stephen, don't go too far away, okay? All right. Are we ready? All right. Is this side over here? Y'all ready? Move across this side over here. Y'all ready? How about y'all? Y'all ready over here? Good? This side? Oh, thank you. Good. We've got some. All right. Here we go. You keep track of your own points, and then at the end, we'll see how many points you have. All right. Number one. So I need one member of your team to bring it up, and the first person who brings it up to me gets a point. All right, here we go. Well, it's not 1,000 points. It's called 1,000 points. Here we go. Number one, a mechanical pencil. Mechanical pencil. Mechanical, mechanical, mechanical. Boom. Point for this team. Where's his team at? Yeah. All right, keep track of your points there. Now this, you know, I don't know about this one. Here we go. I need someone with the TikTok app opened up on their phone. TikTok app. Here we go. Opened up. Boom. Over here. Well done. Where's his team at? Where is he at? Yeah. Got a point over there. Here we go. Number two. A mint. M-I-N-T. A mint. A mint. A mint. A mint, a mint, a mint. Whoa! Ew, what is that? Is that okay, I thought it was like an Advil. It was an Advil. They got a point. There we go. guys with a broken knee and a busted ankle. This is a bad idea. Here we go. Lipstick. Go. Lipstick. 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 Bada bing, bada boom. Lipstick. Where's her team right there? Awesome. Chick-fil-A sounds good. Here we go. Gentlemen, this one was I thought of you. Three separate receipts. Three separate receipts. How many you got there? Oh, my goodness. One, two, three. Nice. He pulled all that one out. Here we go. A hat. H-A-T. Hat. 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 Here we go. We got it there with Adam Shepherd on it. Well done. That scared me a little bit. Tiny bit frightened. I have a lot of these, so don't worry. A picture of a grandchild. Picture of a grandchild. I want a picture. I want a picture. I want a picture of a grandchild. Picture of a grandchild. They're pulling out their phones. He's pulling out a wallet.
Interference.
He's pulling out a wallet.
Where is it?
That's not your grandchild.
Yeah, it's my grandma's grandchild.
Grandchild.
It's my grandma's grandchild.
You didn't look at mine. I had it before him.
It is your grandchild. All right, we'll give 1 point apiece for those two. Great job. 1 point apiece. All right, so that's John Sharp's team. Y'all might choose a different runner here soon. Here we go. A name tag. A name tag. A name tag. I don't care. I don't care. Where is it at? Name tag, name tag, name tag. Oh, I'm going to count the Chick-fil-A name tag. It says a license. Well done. Here we go. The contact phone number for Pastor Monty. Contact phone number for Pastor Monty. Where is it? 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 Oh, wow. Look at this. Boom! Pastor Monty. He's got it. He's got it. Here we go. A shoelace. A shoelace. Just the lace. Just the lace. Just the lace. Well, we'll give it to you. He's got a point there. Well done. I'll give him the effort for that. Here we go. A chewed up piece of gum. Chewed up piece of gum. Right up here. Right up here. She was waving it all the way. Man, he's got everything. He's got it all. Here's an easy one. Pocket lint. Pocket lint. Here it comes again. He's got the whole list.
Oh, no.
Ow. He shocked me. Pocket lint. Yeah. All right. I know no teenager has this. A $100 bill. It's a $100 bill. Wow, you have one too? Wow. We should be taking up offerings. Let's get some ushers down here. Keep track of your points. Very good. Here we go. A selfie with your group. A selfie with your group. Get your group in, take a selfie. Get your group in, take a selfie. Boom! Adam Shepherd. Good job. All right, this is for the older gentleman in mind. A keychain with at least 5 keys on it. A keychain with at least 5. Look at everybody moving. Ching, chang, chang. Here they come. Here they come. Here they come. Whoa!
I'm here.
Oh.
Ow.
One. Two. 3, 4. Do we count the fob as
no.
a key?
Yeah.
No.
It's keys to your car.
We're It can be a key. We'll give it to them. Oh. Very good. Good job. Good job. Keep track of your points. Keep track of your points. Here we go. A toothpick. Be careful when running. A toothpick. Dun, 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 dun. Winner, chicken dinner. You picking your own teeth? Here we go. A signature from today from Pastor Stephen Ogden. Go. If he's not in the room, you need to go find him, all right? I told him not to leave. From Pastor Stephen Ogden. I need a signature from him from today. You got to go find him. He is somewhere. I told him not to leave. I said, don't go far. If anybody asks, nobody was running in the church, all right? Yo! Got it. She got it. Woo! Excellent. All right, so this is going to take some time here. You might need somebody who is on social media for this one. A group selfie uploaded to Instagram and has at least 2 likes and 1 comment. A group selfie uploaded to Instagram with 2 likes and 1 comment. It's a lot easier than you think. Nobody has social media over here? Anti-social media? Look at this.
Is that a selfie?
Well, it is a selfie. Yeah, I didn't specify, but yes, very good. You get the point. Yes. Yes, very good. Let's do just a couple more here. This is kind of gross. I don't know why we're doing this. A used tissue. Looks used to me. I'm not going to investigate it. Another point for them. Very good. All right, here we go. Exactly 54 cents. Exactly 54 cents. Ooh. 54 cents. Thank you very much. Okay. Great job. All right, let's do one final one. And this one, let's make it worth 3 points here. This one will be worth 3 points. Here we go. The signatures of your whole group. Go. The signatures of your whole group. Your whole group has their name on it. Bada 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 boom. Bring it down here for 3 points. This could be the game changer. Oh. Is this your team?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Point them out to me. Let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Is this one here?
Yeah.
5. Where's your team at? 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. We'll give it to you. 3 points. And great job, everybody. Great job. Ah, you were so close. Look at that. All right. Who at least has 1 point? What group has at least 1 point? 1 point, 1 point, 1 point. Okay. 2 points. Your team has 2 points. 2 points. 3 points. 4 points. Okay, we got some there. Looks like it's between these two. 5 points. Over here. The team in the back. It looks like y'all won. Great job. That's the house team. So here you go. Here's your $10 gift cards to Chick-fil-A. Look at that. Congratulations.
Thank
Good job, everybody. Hey, thank you for participating. You can head back to your seat if you need to. And while you're heading back to your seat, we're going to open our Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Tonight, we're going to talk about the end. The end. Matthew chapter number 7. And verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter number 7. Verses 13 and 14. Jesus is speaking and he says, "Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." On Tuesday, there was that disturbing news of that shooting in Nashville at a Christian school. We would consider that a Christian school. And all of a sudden, this 28-year-old girl goes in, shoots down the doors, and kills three children and three adults. And when I look at not just the scene that took place and the event as a whole, but when I think about who committed the crime, it just doesn't fit the bill. What's happening? Wouldn't that be the girl was a proclaimed transgender? She thought of herself as a male. Isn't that societies and culture and this culture? Isn't that those who is praised? Aren't those the people that society has uplifted and exalted and prioritized in every area of our life? Yet that person who they have glorified and who they have honored and exalted, their whole community, has committed such a heinous act. And this is just me, but she got what she deserved. It is heartbreaking to think of those events in a Christian school. But our society, as we'll see here, is part of the grand scheme of deception from the devil. The devil is not trying to in such a bold and big way proclaim lies. Because lies that are so bold and lies that are so obvious are so easily avoidable. But lies that are so close to the truth go undetected and deceive so many people. When Jesus is speaking and he's preaching to the disciples, and there's multitudes that have surrounded him, and he has begun this infamous Sermon on the Mount. The prior verses we would recognize as, "Ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Jesus was proclaiming that all that you would ever need in life is found in me. And yet our society says that that is not enough. Verse number 12 says, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Then we come to verse 13 and 14. Where Jesus is giving them the example
of the two different paths that everybody on earth is on. Jesus is saying, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. If you would just give me a moment, I need to locate a document here. I want to read this to you, and I believe it'll help with the trajectory of this message. This is the case of the two paths. There is a journey that many people take in life. This journey promises so much to those who decide to take its path. It promises all the happiness and pleasure anyone would ever want. In fact, so many people have taken this path that the road had to be widened. And where this road takes them along their journey matters very little. And if I could have the slide to the wide road, please. Where this road takes them along their journey matters very little to all those who decide to stay on this path. You may be asking why. Well, because they are continually being given gifts that keep everyone in their happiness and gives them affirmation that they are okay. Now, since they are unable to see the end of the journey, they are in need of a guide, and they have one. This guide is the epitome of happiness, confidence, and freedom. His followers are in love with the direction that he's guiding them. He so easily seduces people onto this path by promising a satisfaction and fulfillment that seemingly moves farther and farther away. But this doesn't bother those who are on this path. He is able to keep them moving in his direction by distracting them from any realities of right or wrong and the consequences of those. He keeps them on this path by attracting them by their own lusts and desires. The avalanche of sounds from their happiness and the limitless freedom they enjoy draws many people daily. Once on the path and set in their way, then filled with every desire, the guide leaves them to their own devices. His path is self-sustaining, self-directing. Where does he go? He hunts down those who are on a different path. If I could have the slide for the narrow path. This different path is just that. It's different. In every way, actually, really. So few people are venturing on this path. There's nothing there to draw us with flashing lights, fleshly desires, or our own lusts. Those on this path are there only because they met the guide. This path is narrow. It's not even close to anything that would distract us from the destination. This path follows the peaks of mountaintops. Not an easy path at all. But on this path, we see the end of our journey. Not only do we see the end of our path, but also the path of the wider road. The narrow path leads to a celestial city where those who made that journey will experience the true meaning of life and what it means to live. No fear, no pain, no sorrow, and no death. Only life. The glories of that city are being seen by every eye of those who are walking on the narrow path. They continue through the difficulties, knowing what the end will bring them. The people on the narrow path have a story, though. They, too, were once pilgrims on the wide road, until the day they heard a voice from somewhere on high. A voice called out to them, repent and turn from your way and believe on Jesus Christ. The end of your path is destruction. And now the guide of the narrow path has commissioned everyone to proclaim to those on the wide road that there is a way of escape. The way from the wide road to the narrow path has only one crossing. And at any point that someone is ready, the crossing is there for them. The crossing is harsh and cruel, bloodstained and old, but it still stands today. The pilgrims on the narrow path are people who plead for others to join them, but they are facing an enemy. The enemy is that guide from the wide road. Remember, he doesn't care about those on his path, but can't stand those who are not on his path. It's not that he just hates them, but he has a deep-seated, hellish hatred towards the guide of the narrow path. So what does he do? He wants to discourage those on the narrow path. He attempts to draw them away by reminding them of what they are missing and how bad things are and how hopeless the situation may be. But our guide has never left us. We continue to walk towards our homeland and proudly proclaim the good news of the crossing that is available. When this passage was brought to my heart after watching the videos and reading the stories and hearing all of the commentaries of Tuesday's tragedy, one word kept ringing in my mind. How is it that somebody on the wide road with everything they could ever desire, with the culture bowing down to them, with unlimited freedom and seemingly all the happiness they can enjoy, how is it that somebody on this wide road can commit such a heinous crime? And if I could have the slide of the narrow path and the wide path side by side. I mean, look at it. The wide path, you have every store, you have every restaurant, you have every light, you have every billboard. It's all there. Jesus prefaced this passage because he knows that there is something within the heart of every believer that they are searching for, every person that they are searching for. It is found in one word, satisfaction. Satisfaction. I grew up and people would say, and I'm sure you've heard it before, even me, you've said it, money don't buy happiness. I'm like, well, have you ever bought a jet ski? Like, that's pretty happy. I bought a lawnmower. I was pretty happy. I bought ice cream. We were all happy. Well, money doesn't buy satisfaction. That's why the wide road is so deceptive, because it promises our young people, it promises every generation that is in America, it promises all those who join the wide path. Everything that you could ever want in life is found on this wide road. And they endeavor and they go into this world and they try everything that this world has to offer, and they are always coming short of satisfaction. And when a young lady is hearing in her home that she could be anything, when she goes to school and they accept her however she wants to be, when the culture begins to praise her for trying to dress like a man and look like a man and act like a man, and the whole time she's trying to reach and grasp for something and she's not able to find it, and she's always found herself empty. And she gets to that point when there's no reason to live, there's no reason to exercise any sort of moral, because she has found herself empty and empty and empty and empty. And no matter how it may look on Instagram or on Facebook or on TikTok or whatever, YouTube, whatever it may be, Our young people are starving. There is a generation in our world and in our culture, in our own neighborhoods, in our own towns and city. They're starving for something and they're looking for it. But they'll never be able to find satisfaction on the wide road because the guide, the devil, has deceived them. This is traced all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Satan is not attempting anything new anymore. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. If you want to know more about how Satan works in this world and in individuals, you take a look at his best shot. He only had two people on earth to deceive, and he didn't win. He didn't get that. He gave it all he got. He comes up to Eve. And the very first thing he does is distract her. Then he attacks her image. Oh, Eve, you are like this, but you could be more. You could have more followers. You could have more likes. You could have more subscriptions. You could have more people love you. You could have more money. And there's this attack on our image. I want you to know the attack on the image isn't just for the young people. Everybody here, we all deal with that. I got real bad at this when we had kids. Was it when my children would disrupt, go to a restaurant and they act like demons? When they act like demons, I would get furious. I'm like, man, just shut up and sit down and eat your salad. In Jesus' name, amen. Why? Is it because I'm just shocked at their disobedience? I'm like, who are these girls? They're always so sweet and precious. No. It's because it looks bad on Daddy. And I had an image problem where I felt like I should be better in the eyes of other people. The devil is attacking our images. He is attacking the way that you feel about your car. He's attacking the way you feel about your job. He's attacking the way you feel about your own physical appearance. There is an all-out attack on your image. And when he sways you to start considering your image and begins to have doubts in your mind about your image, here's that one thing, here's that one word. Dissatisfaction. When you come into your mind that you are dissatisfied with something, every bit of happiness and every bit of joy that thing brought you once all dissipates. You're driving your clunker truck. Been there before. I had a truck that broke in half when it was getting an oil change. You know, they lifted it up. I was at the barber. And it was a beautiful day, beautiful day. And I was a fresh haircut, drinking a cream soda. Man, I was walking downtown, just waiting for the phone call, my truck to be done, and just enjoying life. And then I got a phone call. He's like, hey, this is so-and-so from the mechanic. I said, hello, mechanic. And he said, we put your truck on the lift, and the front half went up, and the bottom half stayed down. I said, okay. I'm done with my soda. You're driving whatever you made, and you look over and you see somebody in that nice truck that's not broken half. And the attacks on your image start happening. You can look at, I'm telling you, this is not just about teens. I mean, this is everybody. You start looking at somebody's clothes, you go into their house, I mean, you look at all their stuff in their house, and the attacks on your image start to come. I want you to know our satisfaction is not to be found in the possessions that we own. It is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. Our image is not by the possessions that you have now, nor the possessions that you will have in the future. Things come and things go. You buy something and it breaks. Clothes get worn out. Trucks get old and they break in half. And things happen to the possessions that we have. So our image, if it is connected to some sort of possession, that is a tool that the devil can use to distract you and bring you into a state of mind of dissatisfaction. Our image, who we are, our satisfaction in the things that I have and in the person who I am is not found in my possessions, but it is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, "Enter ye the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Now there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death." You say, "I want to have the best, I want to look the best, I want to have the best, I'm just so concerned about my image," and you can follow the philosophy of the wide road, and it can end in destruction. Back to the example of me and my children at a restaurant. My wife was so patient, and she was so kind, and she just wouldn't understand why I would be so angry. And all my fathers have my back on that, right? And she would remind me, "They're just children. It's okay. It's not a big deal." But I'm really struggling with this image part of me. And what's happening is I feel like I'm right. They should behave and they should be quiet and eat and we should have a good family meal. And I thought my way was right, but the end thereof is death. And what happens is we had destruction in our marriage for that time. You see, the devil is not trying to kill you physically. He is not trying to, you know, give you gifts and lure you back to his side. All he wants you to be is just dissatisfied. Because when you are dissatisfied, it is a downward spiral into discouragement. And a discouraged person doesn't do the work that Christ wants him or her to do. A discouraged Christian is that Christian who God gave that one talent to, and because of fear, he hid it away and did nothing with it. If you are struggling with your image, grandparents, I've learned, can even struggle with the image, especially when you talk about grandchildren. I've met grandparents who are just as proud as a peacock when you talk about grandchildren. And then I've met grandparents who, when you mention grandchildren, it's not so great. We all struggle with this, but I want you to know, our guide has never left us. He is our good shepherd. He has not lost sight of who you are or where you are or of what you've got. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches. He promises to never leave you. He promises to never forsake you. He promises that his seed would never be begging bread. He promises to be the good shepherd, to lead us beside the still waters, to restore our soul, to lead us beside the green pastures, and even through the valley of the shadow of death, that even in the face of enemies and even in the face of your greatest trial, that you're not looking at what you don't have and become dissatisfied. Jesus said that I will set a place before you, a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Satisfaction. I hope that you and I can step into faith and believe in that Jesus is all that we need. I look at my bank account and I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, I need a little more. I've prayed this. I don't know if it works, but I prayed this. I said, Lord, you own a cattle on 1,000 hills. Could you sell one of those cattle and give me the beef or something? Can you please sell some property and maybe donate it? And we get worried, man. We get worried. Ah, gosh, I remember. I remember when we moved from this very rural part of West Virginia in Greenbrier County. And our church was in a holler. And we lived in the holler. Our parsonage was even further in the holler. And we were not allowed to go outside for a week because it was bear season. And we had bears in our backyard. And it was just, it was a pretty poor living. But we enjoyed it. It was fun. As kids, we didn't think anything of it. And then the Lord allowed us and our family to move into a bigger city area, a larger church. And I remember my mind starting to shift, looking at these teens and the way they were dressing. Oh, he has the PlayStation 4. Man, we only have PlayStation 2. We need the PlayStation 4. Oh, man, they have the new iPhone. I want an iPhone. They're going out to eat again and again and again and again and again. And there's this dissatisfaction within me with the way I'm living, and I need to be like them. And the destruction that takes place in our minds because of that. But I want you to know there is another path that we are on. And if we can fix our eyes on what's ahead, if we can keep moving forward, the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews reminds us that looking unto Jesus, just keep looking unto Jesus. You get discouraged about the way you feel about your body, look unto Jesus. You don't like your personality, look unto Jesus. This is not some sort of mystical or mythical idea. If Christ, who is life, who is living through you, through the Holy Spirit of God, if we would continue to look unto Jesus, that life would be lived out through you and you would find satisfaction. You don't have to look like the prettiest girl on Instagram, ladies. You don't have to be as popular and as rich as some of those other guys on other social media. You don't have to have that perfect family that just looks like they're perfect all the time. And that better not be our family. Don't be looking at us. Remember, I have demons, right? Satisfaction is found in Jesus. Satisfaction is found in Jesus. You see, everybody on that wide road, pursuing money, pursuing their own lust, pursuing their own desires, always shopping and always buying and always feeling empty and always trying to transition. And now there's so many different genders because they're dissatisfied with their gender. They're dissatisfied with their finances. We have dads who are dissatisfied with their jobs, and it never, never ends. But on this narrow path, Christ gives us satisfaction. That where you are in life is God-led. What you have in life is given to you by God. The job where you are at, the persons that are in your life, that has all been given to you along this narrowed path, and you can find that satisfaction in Him. We need to be continually proclaiming that Jesus Christ satisfies first to yourself. Remind yourself, I don't have this, but I have Jesus. I can't afford this right now, but I have Jesus. I know my children are this, but I have Jesus. I know my job is like this, but I have Jesus. You see, on this narrow path, He knows where you are. He sees what you have. And He has never stopped being the Good Shepherd. You can find satisfaction in Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to acknowledge the person of Jesus Christ tonight. We want to acknowledge that we are on this path as believers. And if there is somebody here who feels like they're on the narrow path, but living like they're on the wide path, Father, would you reveal your Son to them again? Would you reveal to them that all that they need is found in you? You are so connected and intertwined in our lives. You've promised us so much. And Father, for every person here, I pray over every person in this auditorium that no matter where their struggle is with their image, no matter what it is in their life that the devil is using to attack their image, that they would speak the name of Jesus. And we would resist the devil. We would hold up the shield of faith. And we would with all stand. Father, thank you for providing a way onto the narrow path through your Son. We love you. And we ask, as we are dismissed here, that you would be with us even closer than before, that we would feel your presence about us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.